Good afternoon, 4:30 and 61 degrees in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Dan Conte.
And I'm Samantha Morrill.
We're going to try to get that turf out there and we're going to redo the track. That track is breaking up. It's probably 22 years old.
Rowan County School Superintendent Marvin Morris says the school board will hold a special meeting Monday to consider installing artificial turf on the high school football field.
Some people have been evacuated from homes near a Knott County coal mine for fear of an explosion.
And teachers sue the Commonwealth of Kentucky over the underfunded retirement system.
In sports, the MSU Eagles try to snap a 3-game losing streak on the hardwood tonight. They take on Northern Kentucky.
But Luke has the stocks.
Cloudy and cooler tonight with a low in the mid-30s. The complete forecast is coming up after this news.
Steps are being taken out of fears a Knott County coal mine might blow out. Two families have been evacuated from their homes along Kentucky 550 between Mousie and Lackey. The road is closed between the two communities some 8 miles out of Hindman. Knott County Judge Executive Zach Weinberg says there is some evidence the mine is dangerous.
You know, it's blown out. The water's sort of gushing out, and then there's some trees above that's sort of blown out a little bit. But at this time, it's more of a precautionary measure.
State officials are keeping an eye on the mine and surrounding area where pressure is pushing water out of the entrance and from underground streams in nearby mountains. A mine blowout is caused by a buildup of gas in a coal mine, causing an explosion and roof collapse.
The remains of a missing woman may have been found in Bath County. That's the hope of family and friends who haven't seen her since July. WKYT reports Crystal Warner disappeared at the same time as her boyfriend Bobby Jones, whose body was found in August near Interstate 64 in Clark County. The new body was found behind a fallen tree off of U.S. 60 in Bath County, near the area where searchers have been looking for the past few weeks. The Bath County coroner says identification on the body could come today. Warren's father, Brian Reeve, is hoping the remains belong to his daughter.
It's just really been hard not knowing where she's at. You know, thinking every day that, the body's laying outside somewhere.
Warner and Jones' alleged killer is Craig Pennington, who was renting a home from the couple in Washington County. He faces 2 counts of murder.
A Greenup County man is dead after a car left the road and struck him yesterday. WSAZ reports 66-year-old Ernest Johnson was killed alongside State Route 2 just before 2:30 p.m. Kentucky State Police say a car driven by a 72-year-old woman went through a fence and onto a gravel driveway, hitting a parked truck before hitting Johnson and his garage. The driver of the car was treated and released from the hospital. No criminal charges have been filed, and the crash remains under investigation.
A group of current and retired public school teachers has filed a lawsuit asking a judge to order Kentucky's leaders to adequately fund the Kentucky Teachers Retirement System. Will Clark reports.
The suit filed in Franklin Circuit Court names Governor Bevin, Senate President Robert Stivers, and outgoing House Speaker Greg Stumbo, and claims prior governors and legislators consistently failed to adequately fund the pension system, resulting in an unfunded liability exceeding $24 billion. The suit says the system's condition has become more dire since then, and claims that the failure violates the state and federal constitutions and Kentucky law. I'm Will Clark.
A potential $1.2 million project will be talked about at a special meeting on Monday at noon of the Rowan County Board of Education. Superintendent Marvin Moore will ask board members to consider seeking Kentucky Department of Education permission to install artificial turf on the high school's football field and put a new track around it.
I don't want people to think it's just going to be for football because a man will be able to use it. Soccer, it's going to be big enough for soccer. Middle school community will be able to use it when we have City League football. And that's why I want to call it a multiple purpose. And that way, hopefully everybody feels like if that many people are going to have an opportunity to be a part of that, that they'll be supportive of it.
Moore says the district could use some of the $2 million it received from Moorhead State University in the sale of its central office building for the proposed improvements. As a follow-up project, Moore would like to see a field house constructed in part of the current Rowan campus building of Maysville Community and Technical College. The district bought that building in 2015 and will take control of it in 2 years.
The group charged with finding Morehead State University's new president meets tomorrow. The MSU Presidential Search and Screening Advisory Committee is looking for a replacement for Dr. Wayne Andrews, who is set to retire in June. Board of Regents member Wayne Martin heads the committee. He says the panel tomorrow will be narrowing the list of potential candidates for the job down to 8 or 12. After that happens, Martin says committee members will intensify their due diligence efforts regarding those individuals.
In which we get a follow-up to the references that the candidates have listed, and then, of course, our search firm is doing further due diligence with communication with those that they have had a relationship with over the years and may not be listed as a reference, but that individual may have worked at an institution where they placed the president.
Preliminary off-campus interviews with selected candidates will be held in January. Martin says the committee plans to name a finalist for MSU's president's post by late March.
New figures from the Kentucky Career Center show that unemployment increased slightly in the Gateway Area Development District in October, but fell in the Buffalo Trace, Fiveco, and Big Sandy districts. The KCC says 6% of the Gateway workforce is idle, compared to 5.8% in September. Meanwhile, the Buffalo Trace rate fell nearly half a point to 5.8%. Fiveco's rate dropped to almost 2 points to 7.2%, and unemployment in the Big Sandy district slipped to 9.5%, a decline of just under a point. Rowan County has one of the lowest jobless rates in the region, 5.2%. Statewide, 4.8% of the Kentucky labor force is out of work. That is unchanged from the previous month.
Governor Matt Bevin has reduced 8 construction-related boards into one advisory committee, the Housing, Buildings, and Construction Advisory Committee, a move he says will make it easier to build in Kentucky. The new board is a product of Bevin's red tape reduction initiative and will save the state over $100,000. He says a new system put into place will speed up the process of getting approved to build.
It was taking 55 days on average for you to get your plans approved. We've now gotten that down to an average of about 2 weeks, and we've just started.
Bevin adds that the inspiration for the initiative came from a former Kentuckian who championed a similar effort in British Columbia, Canada. Bevin also announced the state will begin accepting plan reviews electronically, reducing turn time on reviews from over 50 days to around 2 weeks.
A Maysville banker who also serves in the Kentucky legislature says the financial services industry is facing a huge challenge as it combats identity theft. State Representative Mike Denham is a Democrat who works for the Bank of Maysville. He says cyber fraud is the biggest threat confronting today's banks.
And probably the biggest threat that we faced in my lifetime. And along with that, we are seeing a tremendous amount of what we call friendly fraud, where families are stealing their parents or their sisters or their brothers' access codes, online access codes.
And Denham says once they have those codes, they can withdraw money. He says banks need to be ever vigilant to protect the accounts of their customers.
While building a new home for its police department remains a high priority for the city of Morehead, where it will be located remains uncertain. Mayor Jim Tom Trent says officials are still mulling over whether to demolish the MPD's current facility, put the department in a temporary home for a year or so while its new station house is being built, or just construct a new building on a completely different site.
Do you want to have a cost for moving twice, or do you want to stay where you are, build it, and then move once? I mean, you're talking about a lot of expensive equipment that needs to be running 24/7, 365. Now, there are temporary setups, but we just got to see what's best for our town and the cost. That's where it comes down to.
That financial issue is complicated by the fact that the city's E911 emergency dispatch center is in the basement of the police station, and it would also have to be moved.
A new shooting range in Lewis County is halfway completed. The two-phase project is being funded in part by a $13,000 grant from the National Rifle Association. Lewis County Judge Executive Todd Ruckel says the first phase of the project has been finished.
Phase one, just kind of opening the area up, creating a road in there, clearing off some land, and we had a lot of volunteers in the area that helped with that. Phase two is what we received the grant for, and that was actually the construction of a pistol range and the rifle range.
Ruckel says residents looking to use the range will pay an annual membership fee. Members of the Vanceburg Police Department and the Lewis County Sheriff's Office will be able to use the facility for free. Construction is slated to be completed by June of 2017.
The city of Vanceburg is moving forward with a cleanup project downtown. MSPR's Kenzie Thompson reports.
The city will be looking for bids for the job of demolishing an old shoe factory. The structure, located on Raleigh Street, is in bad shape and is almost entirely caved in. Matt Ginn's office will hold a pre-bid meeting on November 30th for anyone planning to submit a bid. Ginn says those bids will be accepted through December 12th. Officials are looking for ways to utilize the land once the old building is gone and find uses for its materials it leaves behind. Ginn says the project isn't just about tearing down an old building, but cleaning up the problems that have come with it. For Morehead State Public Radio News, I'm Kenzie Thompson.
Motorists using the new Ironton-Russell Bridge are discovering changed traffic patterns on the Kentucky side of that structure. Alan Blair is a spokesman for the Kentucky Transportation Cabinet.
Where the new bridge intersects US 23, the intersection there is new, and it's quite different than what it used to be at the Russell Viaduct. So people need to just be a little more aware of their surroundings when they go through that area, pay attention to the signs and directions on the pavement markings and the signals.
Blair says motorists should expect longer wait times at signals, and some traffic movements will include tight turns.
The Kentucky Transportation Cabinet is gearing up for winter, and that includes the use of new technology. Patty Dunaway is the Cabinet's chief highway engineer.
Over the last few years, we've been equipping our trucks with what is known as automatic vehicle location equipment, AVL as we call it. And what that does, that helps us to monitor the material usage, the application rates that we put the salt out onto the roadway, as well as determining if the plow blades are up or down, the location of the trucks, the speeds of the trucks, the miles driven, fuel that's been consumed.
Dunaway says the Transportation Cabinet has roughly 2,000 employees she describes as snow fighters, as well as 980 plow trucks and 450 contract vehicles to supplement them.
And Kentucky State Police say now is the time to get your vehicle ready for winter. Trooper Jeremy Thompson recommends staying off the roads when the weather gets too bad, but if you have to be out, there's no substitute for being well prepared.
If you're going to travel on a day like a major snow event, have some type of backup equipment in your vehicle, a blanket, flares, extra batteries, a cell phone charger for your car in the event that you do need to call for emergency services. It's not a bad idea to have some water and maybe even some non-perishable food, granola bars or something like that.
Thompson also explains that drivers who are stranded on the road and can't reach law enforcement by phone can alert passing motorists that they're having trouble. He says they can do that simply by lifting the hood of their cars or turning on their hazard lights.
Republicans preparing to take control of the Kentucky House have selected the rest of their leadership team for the next 2 years, and it includes some newcomers to leadership. David Osborne was chosen by his colleagues today as Speaker pro tem, while Jonathan Schell was selected majority floor leader. Schell played a key role in recruiting House candidates this year when Republicans ended nearly a century of Democratic control of the House. The GOP will hold a commanding 64-36 House majority when the legislature convenes in January. Republicans also control the Senate and have the governor's office. The party recently chose House Minority Floor Leader Jeff Hoover to become Speaker. The new GOP leadership team also will include David Meade as Majority Caucus Chair and Kevin Bratcher as Majority Whip.
And finally this afternoon, Senator Mitch McConnell is letting it be known that he's an enthusiastic supporter of one of President-elect Donald Trump's selections for a cabinet secretary post. Trump Tuesday tapped the Kentucky lawmaker's wife, Elaine Chao, to head the Department of Transportation. McConnell plans to vote for her.
Someone actually asked if I was going to recuse myself. Let me be quite clear. I will not be recusing myself. I think it was an outstanding choice.
Chao is no stranger to Republican administrations. She served as Secretary of Labor during George W. Bush's presidency.
And turning to take a look at the area weather forecast, for tonight, mostly cloudy, lows near 35 degrees. Thursday, partly sunny, highs in the mid-40s. For Thursday night, partly cloudy in the evening, then becoming mostly cloudy later on, lows will be in the lower 30s. For Friday, partly sunny skies, highs near 46 degrees. Friday night, cold and mostly cloudy, lows around 30. And for Saturday, mostly sunny, highs in the lower 40s. It is currently 60 degrees in Ashland, Flemingsburg, and Winchester. It's 57 degrees in Inez. Right here in Moorhead, it is 61 degrees.
It is 4:45. You are tuned to Mountain Edition on Moorhead State Public Radio. It's great to have you with us. On our feature segment, Governor Matt Bevin says he'll do something about gun violence in Lexington and Louisville. The governor made the pledge at a press conference Tuesday. MSPR's Ashley Chapman has details.
After a year of increasing homicides in Kentucky's largest cities, Governor Matt Bevin has vowed to take a more hands-on approach to the problem. He says more legislation won't help.
But you have a cultural problem. You have a spiritual problem. You have an economic problem. That's what you have, period. And people who want to pretend that it's something that can be legislated, that some more government rules are going to fix this, are delusional.
There have been at least 84 murders in Louisville so far this year, and WKYT reports that 19 homicides have taken place in the Fayette County community through October 31st. The most recent gun-related deaths in Louisville occurred on Thanksgiving Day, when two people were killed at a community football game in Shawnee Park, in addition to five wounded. And in Lexington, the latest victim was 15-year-old Trinity Gay, who was caught in crossfire. Again, Governor Matt Bevin.
It's increasingly affecting more and more young people and more people who are innocent, truly innocent, in that they're just random bystanders as shots are being fired.
The Republican isn't spelling out just what he'll do about it, but he says he will deal with the escalating violence.
This has to be addressed. It will be addressed one way or the other. And I will just state right now, without getting into all the specifics, I do intend to weigh in on this as needed.
Louisville Metro Police Chief Steve Conrad says that the department has made strides to locate and prevent crime in the city. He spoke to the Courier-Journal.
Although we don't know the motive behind every homicide, based on evidence that is discovered at the scene or information that is developed throughout the course of the investigation, we find in many of these cases narcotics trafficking was involved.
Greg Fisher is Louisville's mayor. He also spoke with the Courier-Journal.
Improper use of guns and illegal drugs is an epidemic in our country right now. And together we've got to figure out a way to deal with that. And I don't sense any decrease in our community's resolve to attack this problem. And I can tell you from our standpoint, I believe in our plan.
Governor Bevin says he has spoken to Fisher and Lexington Mayor Jim Gray about the situation. And we'll have more to say about it later. For Moorhead State Public Radio, I'm Ashley Chapman.
4:48, all things considered from NPR at 5 o'clock, and Braxton has sports in 30 seconds.
Support for MSPR provided by Downtown Moorhead Incorporated and Moorhead's annual hometown holiday weekend, December 1st through 3rd. The Moorhead Rowan County Christmas Dinner is Thursday, December 1st at the Carl Perkins Community Center. Events continue on Saturday, December 3rd with the Appalachian Holiday Arts and Crafts Fair at Moorhead State University. Hometown Holiday on Main Street and the Cave Run Symphony Orchestra concert at the Moorhead Conference Center. More events and information on Facebook under Downtown Moorhead.
Good afternoon with Moorhead State Public Radio Sports. I'm Braxton Howard. Looking to end a three-game skid, the Moorhead State men's basketball team is at Johnson Arena tonight at 7 for a contest against Northern Kentucky. Still filling in for suspended head coach Sean Woods, acting bench boss Preston Spradlin admits the 2-3 Eagles could really use a win right now, but that's not what he wants his team to concentrate on.
Obviously, it would be really nice, but my focus with the kids, and I told them this yesterday, we don't think about winning, we don't think about losing. We talk about the process of what it takes to get that result you want.
And that means doing things the right way in practice and elsewhere. NKU is 3-3 this season. The Eagles are 7-1 lifetime against the Norse. The Moorhead State women's basketball team visits number 16 West Virginia this evening. Coach Greg Todd believes after playing 17th-ranked Kentucky in Lexington last week, his 5-2 Eagles won't be intimidated in facing the talented Mountaineers.
They're a great offensive team. I think West Virginia is more athletic than UK, top to bottom. It'll be a little bit tougher, and we've got to spend the night more of a traveling mode from that standpoint. But you're right, it does help because they're both top 20 programs, and they have great environments for their home team.
Tonight's contest in Morgantown tips off at 6:30. Louisville hosts Purdue as part of the ACC Big Ten Challenge tonight. Coach Rick Pitino says the 14th-ranked Cardinals will have their hands full with the number 15 Boilermakers, a veteran club with plenty of size.
At 7'2" and a player 6'9", 260 pounds, who's as talented as any low post player there is in the country. So that presents a big problem. And then they shoot it extremely well at the 1, 2, and 3 spot. So they have a great inside attack, great outside attack. They've always been a terrific man-to-man defensive team.
The Cards and Boilermakers haven't met since 2007, with Purdue winning that matchup 67-59 in Indianapolis. The top-ranked Kentucky basketball team has a showdown with number 11 UCLA this weekend at Rupp Arena. The Cats are coming off of a 115-69 win over Arizona State in a game that saw them eclipse the 100-point mark for the third straight game, making them the first Kentucky team to do so since 1977. But it's his team's ball security that has head coach John Calipari praising his team.
Dominic Hawkins has 22 assists and 2 turnovers for the season. What? That is outrageous. And that's why our assist-to-turnover ratio is what it is. We don't turn it over that much. I mean, Bam, when your big guy goes 4 assists, 1 turn, your big guy, normally it's 1 assist, 4 turnovers for your big.
Saturday's game between the two 7-0 clubs tips off at noon. The 2016-17 season for the Round County boys basketball team starts Thursday night with a contest at Montgomery County. Coach Sean Thacker believes the Vikings will have a strong backcourt led by sophomore Deshaun Woods and senior Michael Antrobus. Woods is replacing the graduated Larry Whalen at the point, but Thacker thinks he can do it, noting the two players are much alike.
Deshaun's going to be able to develop into that same kind of guard that can make everybody better. Michael Antrobus, our leading scorer, leading returner from last year's team, is back, and he's worked on his game and improved it.
As for the Round Lady Vikings, they open up with Johnson Central at home on Friday night. Morehead State football coach Rob Tenure is looking ahead to doing some off-season rebuilding of his roster. The Eagles have to replace 18 seniors from this year's squad, including record-setting quarterback Austin Gayhafer and MSU's all-time leading receiver Jake Raymond. But Tenure thinks they can do it.
We're excited about what we have left in the cupboard. It's not bare by any means. And I think we've got some good tools. You know, I think we played a lot of young guys on defense this year that'll step in and play a larger role and be more productive. And then offensively, you know, what we do offensively is so important that we find the quarterback, and we were able to do that 4 years ago, and I'm pretty confident that we'll do that again next year.
The MSU football team will be looking next season to improve on its 4-7 finish this fall. Baseball's winter meetings kick off next week in National Harbor, Maryland. According to MLB.com's Reds beat reporter Mark Sheldon, the Reds front office may be looking to move a couple of key players if possible.
The only real players that might get traded, or they might be looking to trade if possible, would be shortstop Zach Cozart. Second baseman Brandon Phillips has a full no-trade clause and will make $14 million in the final year of his contract in 2017. However, it looks like there's really not a whole lot of market for second baseman right now.
Also, according to ESPN.com's Buster Only, the Reds are also listening to trade offers for center fielder Billy Hamilton. And finally in sports, the former number one golfer in the world is getting set for a comeback. Tiger Woods is back on the golf course after a 15-month absence as he prepares to compete in the Hero World Challenge in the Bahamas. Woods was asked today what his expectations are for himself in the tournament, which starts on Thursday.
I'm going to give my best. I'm going to be focused. I'm going to try and do what I can do and put the ball in the correct spots, give myself looks, and try and bury these putts and post scores. And get myself in that mix come Sunday afternoon.
In his 15-month absence, Woods has fallen in the world rankings to number 879. That's it for sports. For Morehead State Public Radio, I'm Braxton Howard.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at msueagles.com. Men's basketball hosts Northern Kentucky tonight at 7 p.m., and women's basketball welcomes Lipscomb at noon on Saturday. Tickets and information available from the Morehead State Athletic Office at 783-2386 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the national offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing stock market report for MSU Public Radio. Stocks closed mixed. This, of course, being the last day of the month as energy stocks surged on an OPEC deal to cut production while investors digested solid economic data, although there was weakness in certain parts of the market. And the Dow did finish the day with a gain of 1.98 at 19,123.58 after being considerably higher for much of the day. The S&P 500 was actually down 5.85 at 2198.81, and the NASDAQ Composite was down 56.24, in particular on weakness in biotech stocks, as it finished at 5323.68. New York Stock Exchange breadth was roughly 3-2 in favor of losing stocks over winners. In the big news today, OPEC agreed to cut production by approximately 1.2 million barrels per day, which is about 4.5% of current production, and U.S. crude oil futures soared as the January delivery contract spiked almost 10% to settle at $49.21 a barrel. And, of course, broadly, all crude stocks were very strong today, Marathon Oil being the very best performer in the S&P 500. On the data front, private companies added 216,000 jobs in November, well above the expected 165,000, according to ADP and Moody's Analytics. The ADP report is often seen as a prelude to the U.S. government's monthly jobs report, which is due this Friday. Also, consumer spending rose 0.3% in October, while personal income gained 0.6%, the best showing since April. The Chicago PMI index reading for November came in at 57.6, well above October's reading of 50.6. Pending home sales rose 0.1% month over month in October and 1.8% year over year, and this was in line with expectations. Overseas, European equities traded mostly higher, with a pan-European stock 600 index rising 0.31%, while in Asia, stocks were mixed, with the Korean Kospi falling about 0.25% and the Japanese Nikkei 225 closing flat. Gold futures for February delivery fell $16.90, settling at $1,173.90 per ounce. And on the Dow, or I should say among your Dow industrial stocks, your best performers were Goldman Sachs and DuPont, and the worst performers were Visa and Verizon. And in the S&P 500, the best performers were Marathon Oil and Transocean, and the worst performers were Vertex Pharmaceuticals and American Waterworks. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Ashland Incorporated down $1.70 at $112.73. CSX up $1.03 at $35.83, Marathon Petroleum up $1.06 at $47.03, AEP down $2.21 at $59.06, AK Steel up $0.19 at $9.13, and Community Trust Bank was down $0.40 to finish at $42.25. Reporting for MSU Public Radio, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Support for MSPR is provided by Gateway Radio Works, serving Rowan and surrounding counties with WKCA at 97.7 FM. All the programming of WKCA, classic country music, news, and more is available worldwide on WKCARadio.com. Apps are available for both your Apple and Android devices. WKCA proudly supports Morehead State University and Morehead State Public Radio.
Taking a final look at the weather report, tonight mostly cloudy with lows near 35 degrees. For Thursday, partly sunny, highs in the mid-40s. Thursday night, partly cloudy in the evening, then becoming mostly cloudy. Lows will be in the lower 30s. For Friday, partly sunny skies, highs near 46. Friday night, cold and mostly cloudy, lows near 30 degrees. For Saturday, mostly sunny, highs in the lower 40s. Saturday night, mostly cloudy with a 30% chance of rain or snow. Lows will be in the lower 30s. Sunday, cloudy with a 50% chance of rain or snow. Highs will be in the lower 40s. For Sunday night, mostly cloudy with a 20% chance of rain. Lows will be near 32 degrees. For Monday, partly sunny with a 20% chance of rain. Highs in the upper 40s. For Monday night, mostly cloudy with a 40% chance of rain. Lows will be in the mid-30s. Tuesday, mostly cloudy with a 30% chance of rain. Highs in the lower 50s. And it's 61 degrees in Moorhead.
And that'll do it for us on Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had help from Chuck Mraz, Arlo Barnett, Ellen Barnett, Braxton Howard, Sean Delaney, Ashley Chapin, Kenzie Thompson, and Victoria Agee. From the Kentucky News Network, Will Clark. This is Morehead State Public Radio, WMKY Morehead, and translator W202BH Inez. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Samantha Morrill and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Dan Conte, Morehead State Public Radio News. All Things Considered is next. It's 5 o'clock.